going to be reading from Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Don't worry about me, saints. I sweat all the time. Don't worry. Okay. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. The children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come in fear to the Lord and to the goodness in the latter days. This is the word of the Lord. Let me begin by saying that is a very, this verse of scripture is a very harsh and derogatory sounding verse of scripture. Number one, this has happened for many, many years. It has paced women, or the society has taken this and have paced women in one category or another, depending on their lifestyle. So let me start out with that, number one. Number two, it doesn't say men fall in the same category as this woman has fallen in the same category, because men wrote the Bible. And so whoever is the dominant person or persons usually write what is available. So please excuse the language, the harsh language of that particular scripture. You'll see as we go on, it is used metaphorically, even though Hosea actually did what God told him to do. It is a metaphor for a people of God in which they have turned away from God. All right? I've given some of the sermon away already, but I have to say that in the beginning of this scripture. In Hosea, God is hurting. Yes, you heard me right. God is in pain. Pain? Yep. God is in pain. God is in pain because his heart is broken. God, the creator of all the known universe, God who says to himself, and this is what he says of himself, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever shall be, have been formed, the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, I am God. Yes, that God, the God we're referring to today, who created all the worlds and the universes, yes, that great God is actually hurting. Listen to this. God, while speaking to Moses in chapter 3 of verses 14 and 15, this is what he says. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And Moses said, and then he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am who I am. Yep, the same God, his heart is broken. Yep. That's the God I'm talking about. That's why this scripture is so harsh, because God has got to show his people in the only way he can how his heart is broken. And he does this through the life of one of the prophets. Yes, that is the God who is hurting from a broken heart. God's heart has been broken by the actions of Israel. And the woman that the prophet Hosea goes back again, this is the second time he goes back again and takes her off the streets. He says, God says, this is how I'm going to do you. Why is God hurting in our text? What is Israel doing that God would express the kind of deep disappointment? How does God express his brokenheartedness? Our text shows us this morning. First of all, you can't be brokenhearted unless you really gave your heart to the one you love. You can't be brokenhearted unless you really gave your heart to the one you love. God loved Israel despite her sinfulness and tells her through the life of the prophet, and this is how he says, go love a woman who has a lover and is an adulteress. Just as the Lord loves the people of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. In other words, they turn from the God of their fathers, the God that delivered them from the slavery of Egypt, the God who showed them the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, the God who fed them quail in the desert, the God who put water out of a rock. The same God is the God they turned away from. They started to worship other idols and other things. Israel does not expect God to act this way, though. To go back and love her God despite the fact God has committed adultery? Would Israel love God like that? Despite the fact that Israel has acted like, has had a life of living in prostitution in the streets? Do you think if God were doing that to Israel, Israel would take God back? You know the answer to that. No, Israel wouldn't. In other words, if God were to cheat on Israel, Israel would not take God back. See, God's love stands in deep contrast to the fickle love of Israel. God does not choose the cheap and easy way out. God's love takes back Israel despite her pernicious and insistent unfaithfulness. That is the way God loves. That is the way God loves. Now, as I share this morning, please remember, I'm talking about the God kind of love. Somebody who says that they love you and they beat you, that's not the God kind of love. And I'm not talking about a spanking on the behind with little children. I'm not talking about that. Amen. I'm talking about relationships. I don't care whether it's the male or the female. That's not love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is generous. God has taken us back many times. Our lives have not always been absolutely squeaky clean. There have been times in our lives when we have strayed from God and sought other lovers. Many of us have had our times of backslidings. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. This is just a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been backslidden before? Many of us have punctured the heart of God, and when our unfaithfulness has taken us into situations we can't get ourselves out of, God comes and patches up the wounds, loves us the way he does. See, he's not limited like a human being. It's the kind of love that keeps chasing us over and over and over again. The Lord speaks of this kind of love to Jeremiah, saying, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. No wonder God hurts. See, because you can't hurt unless you gave your heart. And God gave Israel his heart. Many of us have been there before. We've had broken relationships because we loved that person. Anybody remember when they first fell in love? When you were about 14 years old? And you remember that? You were just so in love. Every time you saw him or her, you just floated on a cloud. Right? But then they broke your heart. Remember the first time your heart was broken? You know why? Because you gave your heart to that person. So God hurts because he gave his heart. And guess what? He's given his heart to us. Secondly, God paid the price for that love. God paid the price for that love. He says in verse 2 of our text, "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of barley and a measure of wine. And I said to her, 'You must remain as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore. You shall not have intercourse with a man, nor I with you.'" Hosea actually, God tells Hosea to go buy her back, to pay for her again. Again. And God is demonstrating his love to Israel, saying, "You can't stop my love." Now I want to say unequivocally, this does not take away or add to the argument that you should not get a divorce. If you're broken and things happen, it happens. And I've heard knucklehead preachers, excuse me, I'm sorry, knucklehead preachers use this scripture to make people stay in relationships that were not ordained from God. Somebody knocking you upside your head is not ordained of God. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love brings about wholeness. This is just God showing his love. That's why we're not God. And that's why it's so easy for us to be idolaters. Right? It's so easy for us to worship other things. I don't have to tell you what you may have worshiped before. And then all of a sudden God spoke to your heart and said, "Hey, I need some time. Hey, I need some prayer. Hey, I need you today." And then that broke, that idolatry broke in your own life. God paid the price through Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. He died for us so that we could know the love of God. People of God, I did not know what love was until God saved my life. Now, I had hate in my heart. And it wasn't racially biased either. I hated everybody. Honest to God, I just had hate. I was so angry all the time. And obviously now being a professional counselor, understand having cathartic moments, I understood that now it was coming from my background and how I felt I wasn't loved and how things happened in my life. I was angry. Angry at everyone, hating everyone. Now, I use that hyperbole. Sure, I loved my wife, but when you have hate in your heart all the time, you're angry with your wife, or you're angry with your children. Hate in my heart. And when God saved my life, saints, something happened and gave me love that I never had before. That's all I can say about it. I don't know what it is now. It's still to this day, after 38 years of knowing God, everybody I come in contact, and this is by the grace of God. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to boast. I'm just saying that ever since the day God saved me, he put love in my heart for everybody that comes my way. Can't help it. That's why the coronavirus is really ticking me off, man. Because I can't hug folk, can't shake the hand. You know, I got to go through changes. That's all right. I'm going to find a way through. And that's exactly what God does. He finds a way through our own mess, our own idolatry. And he says, "Here I am. I love you. You can't get rid of me. I'm here for you. I know you've been ignoring me. I know you haven't made me first. Here I am. My love is not going away." Finally, God won't give up that love. And this is the part that always freaks me out. That when I am not at my best, and when I'm not prayed up, and when I just am angry with God, yes, a reverend doctor has said he gets angry with God, yes, and I yell at God sometimes. I know, Oh, woe is me. Don't punish me in your heads. I can hear some of you going now, you're not supposed to be angry. Well, he's made me mad sometimes. That's what happens in loving relationships, right? Let me ask any wife or husband, you always happy with your husband or wife? Uh-huh, yeah, I get by that little feeling of uncomfortability laughing. You ain't always lovey-dovey all the time. Amen, Cassie? Shoot, sometimes Lady Shaw don't want to be bothered with this strikingly handsome young man. But love endures, right? That's what God is saying. I'm not giving up on you. Human beings give up on love. Human beings don't know how to love. Human beings have to be taught how to love. But God's love is the love that keeps on teaching and keeps teaching by example. By example. By example. I'm talking about the God kind of love that ain't gonna give up on you, even though you give up on it. Or him. Take a journey, David said one time. He said, you know what, God? And it was, I'm going to use a bit of hyperbole because this is the way it sounds in Greek. I'm going to use modern. When David was talking about God, and I'm finished here. I'm finished right here. David was talking about God, and he was really aggravated with God. And in the text, you can tell he was aggravated, okay? In the Hebrew text, he was aggravated. And by the verbs he was using and by the way he was talking, he was aggravated with God. He had a relationship with God. When you're in a relationship with God, you get mad. God gets mad with us. We get mad with God, yada, yada, yada. You love each other, right? That's what happens in a relationship. So David is really angry. He said, you know what, God? I go, if I made my bed in hell, you'd be right there. You get on my nerves, Lord. You just get on my nerves. If I went to the highest peak in the heavens, you'd be there. In other words, David was saying, I can't get away from your love. And I'm so glad I can't. Because when I need it the most, it's right there. Let's pray.